Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Barney's. My name is Albie. I'm one of the missus here, and it's great to have you here at church. I wonder, as we start this morning, what your picture of who Jesus is. What is your picture of Jesus? Maybe your picture of Jesus is that he's a good man. He's meek and mild, which apparently is a children's prayer from long ago, that he's a meek and mild person. He did good things. He taught others to do good things. Maybe that's the picture you have of Jesus. He's a good man. Maybe your picture of Jesus is that he's a miracle worker. He did some pretty impressive things, which is why people followed him back then. He healed the blind. He made the paralyzed walk again. He even had power to calm a storm. Maybe your picture of Jesus is that he's the Son of God. And I take it for some of the people here, for a lot of the people here, that is you. But maybe for some of you, you're actually not sure. If this is your first time here at church, we love the fact that you're here with us. You're invited to keep coming back. But I know that there's other people at church who have actually been to church for quite a while, and you're still not sure. You're not sure who Jesus is. And so whether you're here for the first time or you're regular, your picture of Jesus is TBC, to be confirmed. You're still working it out. I want to say to you this morning, whichever category you put yourself into, what Jesus does in the passage that was read out for us is actually pretty shocking. It was for the people back then in Simon's house. And as we take a look at this story that was read out for us, we're going to see that Jesus is more confronting than we realize, but he's more compassionate than we deserve. And whether he's confronting for us this morning or he's compassionate, that depends on whose shoes we find ourselves in the story. As we take a look at this passage, why don't we pray and God ask that God might help and be with us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word to us here in Luke chapter 7. We pray, Lord, that as we look at this passage, that you might speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to see you for who you are. We pray, Lord, that you might stir our hearts to respond in the right way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 7. It's a dinner party. It's at the house of a man by the name of Simon. And we find out a few things about Simon. We find out that Simon is a Pharisee. He was a community leader of the time. It means that he's religious. Simon is educated. He's upper middle class. He's respectable. If Simon was alive today, he's the sort of person that we would find at church. He comes along. He's a good person. He's a leader in the community. Maybe he's a school principal. Maybe he's a member of the Rotary Club. And he's organized this dinner for Jesus and some of his friends because he wants to meet Jesus to see who Jesus is, to actually check him out. All of a sudden at this dinner party, a woman comes and crashes the party. And there's two things that are shocking about this woman. The first thing that's shocking is what she does, the way that she acts. You see what she does there in verse 38. If you've got Bibles there, it'd be great to keep it open as we take a look at this passage. What she does here is actually a little bit embarrassing. She comes in, she crashes the party, and then she starts crying. And she wets Jesus' feet with her tears. And if that wasn't strange enough, she then uses her hair to wipe his feet. And then she kisses them. Now, not only is that pretty scandalous back in the culture back then, this is a man she's not even related to, it's actually pretty unhygienic. This is kind of revolting what is going on here. If you saw, actually, as you came in today, that the backyard there, the courtyard, you'll see that it's been pressure hosed. There's mud here and there. Yesterday, I took a short walk across the courtyard just for a couple of minutes. And by the end of the walking across the courtyard, my shoes were covered in mud. Back in Jesus' days, you walk around in sandals. And by the end of the day, your feet are covered in dirt and mud and all sorts of things that you don't even want to mention. The feet are disgusting. And here she is, kissing them. She's got a jar of perfume. This is expensive perfume. It's not the kind of perfume you buy at Chemist Warehouse. This is probably a family heirloom, the most expensive thing that she has. She breaks a seal and she pours it all over Jesus' feet. I want you to imagine for a moment just being there. Maybe you're one of the guests at this dinner party. This action here is over the top. You see the woman. She's there in the middle of the room, kissing the feet of Jesus. You hear her. You hear her sobbing and crying. And the room is filled with that smell of perfume. And as you're there in the room, you can imagine it going deadly quiet. What is going on here? And it's almost like you're expecting someone to step in and deal with this scandal that's taking place in the middle of the room. It's a little bit like having a drunk guest at a dinner party. Now, everyone wants to ignore them, but you can't. They're too loud. They're in your face. You can smell the person. It's actually quite embarrassing what's going on here. It reminds me of that incident with Tom Cruise, you know, how he jumped on top of the couch when he was being interviewed by Oprah. As I look around the room, some of you are probably too young to even remember that. But it's embarrassing, and it's quite awkward. That's the scene that's being played out here in Luke chapter 7. But it's not just what she does, which is shocking. It's also who she is. Did you see in verse 37 how she's described? We don't hear anything else about her except she lived a sinful life. That's who she is. That's the description we get. That characterizes who she is. She lived a sinful life. And then when you look at verse 39, she's obviously well known. People recognize her instantly. She's notorious. What kind of woman she is in verse 39, according to Simon the Pharisee, she is a sinner. We actually don't know 100% for certain, but she's probably a local prostitute. That's the instant recognition that's going on here. That's the reputation that she has. It precedes her. And so to come here at this dinner party that's full of respectable people, it's got all the appropriateness of a stripper at a kid's birthday party. This is scandalous. As soon as she walks into the room changes. You can hear a penny drop. It's embarrassing. It's awkward, especially for Simon the host. But it's not the woman who scandalizes Simon. It's Jesus. See what Simon says in verse 39. If this man, talking about Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Simon is shocked by Jesus. Actually, Simon is appalled. Doesn't he know who's touching him? Doesn't he know what her profession is? Jesus can't be a prophet. But here's the irony. Jesus knows exactly what Simon is thinking, because he's not just a prophet. Here is the Son of God. Jesus knows who the woman is. Jesus knows her guilt, her shame, her life. And it's embarrassing for Simon. It's embarrassing for the guests, but it's not embarrassing for Jesus. Now, just on the side, I love as you read through the Gospels, as you read through the Bible about who Jesus is, you get to see him deeper and richer. Do you see what he's like here? This is not Jesus as clean and pristine who's above all of our problems. That's not the Jesus that we meet here. This is the Jesus who cares, who sees the woman that no one else actually wants to see. And he's kind and he's gentle. He protects her. You see, he doesn't care about what the other people think. He doesn't care what they think about the woman that's there. He cares about her. And he knows what Simon is thinking, and so he tells Simon a story. Verse 41. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. It's a simple story about two men who needed cash, and so they went to a moneylender to borrow money off him. Well, we're not told why, but they're desperate for money. Now, a denarius is about one day's pay. And so one of the men owes around 2 months' salary, and the other man owes around 2 years' salary. Both of them are in debt. And in verse 42, they can't pay it back. And because of that, now maybe with the cost of living crisis nowadays, we can sympathize with what's going on here. You know, money pressures can be hard. But what we see here is much harder than that. It's worse for them. This is a world where you can't just declare bankruptcy and you make your debts disappear, you write things off. There's no government assistance. There's no mybudget.com.au. They are genuinely in trouble. This is a world where you can go to jail because of your debt. And not just you, but your family members can go to jail because of your debt. And actually, you can be sold into slavery until the debt is paid, losing everything. Your family facing jail or slavery. Imagine the desperation of these two men. The sleepless nights, the panic attacks. It is hopeless. And the men know that. The men know that they can't do anything to solve it. But then in verse 42, the debt gets cancelled. The person they owe the money to, he forgives the debt and it is gone. The family members that were going to be sent off to jail, maybe to become slaves, imagine the relief that they are free. Those problems are solved. Now that's a story. It's a simple story. But it's also a story that's got a bite. There's a sting in the tail. Because this is actually a story about Simon the Pharisee. Verse 42. Two people are in debt. Neither of them can pay it back, but their debts are forgiven. And so Jesus asks, which of them will love the person more? And Simon gets the answer right. The one who had the bigger debt. Now here's the point of the story. The more that you are forgiven, the more that you will love the man, the person who forgives you. The greater the forgiveness, the greater the love. And then he compares Simon and the woman. It's a little bit like that game of, you know, she loves me not. You know that idea when you like somebody and you're trying to work out, do they love me back? And you've got this flower and you start pulling off one petal at a time. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. And you hope that by the end of it, she loves me. Because that proves that she does, right? But that's kind of what the game that's going on here. Except with the woman and Simon, it's she loves me. He loves me not. She loves me. He doesn't. Take a look at verse 44. Jesus said, I came into your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet. As I said before, your feet, they get dirty. And so in the culture back then, not to offer water is rude. Simon is being rude to Jesus here. He doesn't care for him. He doesn't love him. You didn't give me any water, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, Simon. It's a greeting of the day. It's basically a handshake. You didn't even give me that. But she's been kissing my feet since I've come in. You gave me no oil for my head. Again, it's standard hospitality. She has poured out her treasure, literally at Jesus' feet, her perfume. This is overwhelming love from this woman. It is over the top. It is devoted love from this woman for Jesus. And you see in verse 47, do you see why? Her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been given little, loves little. Do you see what he's saying? The reason why she's so overwhelmed, over the top, the reason why her love is so devoted is because of forgiveness. She has been forgiven, and forgiveness does that. In the story, the enormous debt that she had no chance of paying has been cancelled. That debt has been forgiven. Not a debt that she owes the bank or a moneylender or even a loan shark. It's a debt that she owes to God, that she has no chance of paying back. A debt which is called sin. And it stands between her and God, and same way that our sin stands between us and God. And God says to the woman, it's cancelled. That debt of sin, it is forgiven. It's gone. It's done. And that changes everything. It means that her past, her sinful life, it's gone. Her guilt, her shame, that's forgiven. The judgment that all of us face in front of God, for this woman, there is no fear. There's only confidence where those things are being wiped clean. And to realize that, it means joy. And to see Jesus, it means to love him. Sins forgiven. But Simon doesn't love because he is not forgiven. He doesn't think that he needs it. He looks at the woman and he says, well, I'm okay compared to her. I'm righteous. I'm religious. I'm respectable. And friends, can I say, it is so easy for us to be just like Simon here. We think to ourselves, sure, I've done a few things wrong, but I haven't done the big things. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't cheated on my wife. I try to do the right thing. I live a decent life. I try to do more good things than bad things. I might even be religious. I go to church. I sometimes pray. Surely, I'm okay with God. Surely, I don't need to come to Jesus. And friends, if you are like that, you are going to be shocked by Jesus. You won't know forgiveness because you won't ask for it. You don't even think that you need it. Now, the debt is still there. Make no mistake about it. But instead of Jesus taking it away, we hold on to it. And we're guilty in front of God. And one day in front of God, the judgment is guilty, judged, condemned. Verse 48, I think actually Jesus says this. I think as much for Simon as for the woman. He says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Here is the one in Jesus who has the authority to forgive sins, to wipe out that debt. Because as we read through Luke's gospel, we see how Jesus dies on the cross when he doesn't have to, but he dies for us. And he comes back to life to bring eternal life for us. Come to Jesus, trust in him, and it changes everything. I was reading about a man by the name of Sidney Holmes. Sidney Holmes, he was sentenced to jail for 400 years for his part. Back in March this year, he was released after serving 34 years in prison because they realized it wasn't him. Imagine how happy he was, how over the moon he was when he's finally set free. He's innocent. To get out of jail, to be over the moon. It's not one of those instances where you think, oh, it's okay. Life is not very different. Being outside is basically the same as being in prison. That's not what's going on here. To be released is incredible. Now, that's what we have in Jesus, except for us, there is no mistake. Sidney was innocent. We are not. There is no wrongful conviction here. We and God not living the way that God wants us to, and that's a problem. It's a problem to be guilty in front of God. It's a huge problem. But if we come to Jesus, we are forgiven. And our debts are cancelled. We are free. The woman's response, joy, overwhelming love, of course that makes sense. That's what forgiveness does. If we realize what God has done for us in Jesus. There's actually two types of people here in the story that we meet. The story here in Luke chapter 7. The question is, which one are we? On the one hand, there's Simon. Simon who says, I'm okay. I don't need forgiveness. And to have a lukewarm response to Jesus. The debt in front of Jesus, the debt in front of God, it's still there. But we hold on to it. The question for us is, are we lukewarm to Jesus? Do we give him a looking into? Do we understand what forgiveness is? There's a Simon on one hand, but there's the woman on the other. The woman knows that she's not okay. She knows that she needs forgiveness, and she finds it in Jesus. Her response is joy, and it changes her. It makes a difference. It has to make a difference, because being forgiven means overwhelming love. Maybe this morning, know that weight of your own debt, the guilt that we have in front of Jesus, the guilt that we have in front of God. Today would be a great day to put your trust in Jesus. Talk to me, talk to Mitch, the friend who invited you along. Use the QR codes in front of you, or send me an email. This is an offer that is precious to each one of us. But there's actually a third type of person. Not in the story, actually, but a third type of person as we're thinking about us here in the room. Maybe you're not sure yet. It's great to have you here with us. Keep coming along to church. Keep finding out. Church is not just for Christians. It's for anyone who wants to find out more. Mitch mentioned the Christianity Explored course. It's a great way to dig deeper in terms of working out who Jesus is. It goes for 7 weeks. It's worth looking into. Because here's the great news of Luke chapter 7. Actually, it's the great news of the whole Bible. Jesus is not in the business of looking down at people like Simon does. Jesus is in the business of forgiveness. And whatever it is that we've done, whatever it is that we're ashamed about or guilty of, if we come to Jesus, his promise is verse 48. He says to us, "Your sins are forgiven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us here in Luke chapter 7. We thank you for Jesus, his love and his care, not just for this sinful woman, but his love and care for us, that he would die on the cross, that we might have our sins forgiven. We pray that you might help us to open our eyes to see who Jesus is, that we might be amazed afresh, all over again, by the offer that he gives to us, where he declares our sins are forgiven because he died for us. We pray that you might stir our hearts to overwhelming love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. I'm going to ask the music team to come up and to lead us in song.